This is the Jeff Horovitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
Well, happy Tuesday to you. Rich Nolan, President and Chief Executive Officer of National Mining Association, is going to join me, plus a lot more. A lot of fun stuff, promise you, folks. Jeff Horovitz Show starts now. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for listening. Jeff Horovitz here. Happy to be here with you today. And I want to hear from you on the Just Wireless listener line open just for your comments 24/7, 877-971-3971. Let's start off with this one. And by the way, we are going to talk with Rich Nolan, who is the President and Chief Executive Officer of the National Mining Association, also involved with a bunch of other groups. Let's talk about coal. Let's talk about our supply chain issues internationally. Let's talk about China's resource play around the world. They're buying up, you know, rights, mineral rights, mines. They're buying up natural resources around the world. Let's talk about what those implications mean for us going forward. We'll talk with Rich Nolan here in just a little bit. But let's start with this one. This is actually from FoxNews.com. I know some of you are mad at Fox News. I am to a degree. But this one's a good article. So we pull what we can from sources to that I think will be enlightening for you. And I think that this is going to shock you. I mean, you're going to be like, whoa, wow. I'm blown away. Here's the title. California authorities insist people stay home. Meanwhile, while they're escaping to lavish getaway in Hawaii. No, say that. No way. I mean, this is going to I've read the first paragraph because I think sometimes when I read these articles and just the headline in advance and then read the rest to you and get my reaction, I think we have a better time. Kind of like yesterday we played Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's press conference on how they're going to fix the economy. By the way, thank you for all the emails and text messages and phone calls of how much you were disgusted in hearing that. I know I knew it was going to be a channel changer. We played about 30 minutes of their meeting with my commentary. If you missed that, the full podcast is up at talkwithjeff.com. I knew you were going to be upset, but I think it was important to hear that, you know, what they actually intend to do, you know, as president and vice president, which would be $15 an hour minimum wage, investment in green energy, which basically the Green New Deal, and putting hundreds of billions into that, which kind of reminds me of, you know, I don't know, the Obama administration, which Biden was obviously intimately involved in, and things like Solyndra. Well, we're going to do that again. What were the other things? Stuff like that. We're going. Oh, all the union folks. There was, I miscounted. I said there was four big corporation folks in his meeting to advise him versus five union folks. I was way off. There's five union folks versus three big corporate, big wigs, but zero regular folks like, you know, a plumber or a heating and cooling person or somebody with, you know, a small business. But then he talked about small businesses and how he's going to help small businesses while listening to the union reps and the CEOs of mega corporations that just get bigger and bigger. But anyway, I digress. I'm getting off track already. Yeah, did I mention that next week is Thanksgiving and I'm going to have another digital detox? If you missed my segment and comments on digital detox yesterday, it took 2 days over this past weekend to disconnect from the insanity of the public servants. Now, anyway, California, back to my story. California authorities insist people stay home. Meanwhile, they're escaping to lavish getaway in Hawaii, and it comes just after California issued a travel advisory. This came out, this morning, late yesterday. And I'm just shocked because, I mean, I thought that most of these people were public servants and they had, you know, our best interests in mind. You know, these political elites that just, they start off in your local councils and your county board of supervisors, then they are groomed and sent up the ladder to the local, the legislatures, sometimes statewide office. And then sometimes they get a position on a national, campaign or something like that. Like Oh, who's coming to mind? Let me think first. Oh, yeah, there's the outgoing mayor of Flagstaff, Mayor Coral Evans. You remember, she's been around for a while now, I believe 12 years in politics. She started out as a Flagstaff City Council member and then became a two-term mayor. And then the powers that be sprinkled and showered her with money to, push her along up the chain of command to higher office, in this case, Legislative District 6. So a state race. And believe me, the next step was, congressional race and so on and so forth. However, she failed. It was an epic fail because she got $717,000of money, mostly from out of state. But she says they're all from small donors. Yes, small donors from San Francisco, where she got more money from the fine folks of San Francisco and their great policy and their great governance. She got more money from them, and she got $717,000, and she ran a really, 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 really bad, lazy campaign, and she lost. She lost to Brenda Barton and Walt Blackman. You all know the story, and you think that, okay, epic loss with all that money, and you just kind of disappear and go back to the private sector. But no, these are public servants. I want you to keep that in mind. These are all public servants. They care so much about the public and about you that there's no way they ever get out of public life because they care so much. So she got awarded with, she's one of 13 of all the people, 7.23 million people or so in the state of Arizona. She was chosen in her infinite wisdom to guide Senator-elect Mark Kelly on his quest and mission to serve the public in Washington, D.C., which we know how that goes. That always goes great. So anyway, back to where I started and then diverted to. She's moving up the ladder because now she's going to be an advisor to a senator, and that's always good. And maybe she'll get a job in the administration and get more knowledge on how to better serve us all and make our lives better on a daily basis. Then she'll be back. Trust me, she'll be running for office somewhere else. Who knows where? But anyway, back to this. California authorities insist people stay home. It's one of those days, folks. Meanwhile, they're escaping to lavish getaway in Hawaii. Let me read this. California lawmakers are reportedly descending on a week-long policy conference in Hawaii as the Golden State urges its citizens to refrain from travel and indoor gatherings. And keep in mind, here in just a little over a week, one of those indoor gatherings may or may not be Thanksgiving, in which these public servants, I should add, have warned that you, citizen, should not meet with your family. You should not have a gathering, with anybody outside your immediate family. You just shouldn't. And if you pass the turkey leg, hey, pass me that turkey leg. You got to use the little thing that they use, with the little tongs, the little thing, the stick with the picker upper thing. Or what's that thing called? If anyone knows that, I'd love to hear from you. You got to use that to pick up. Like you pick up the cigarette butts in the parking lot that people discard. You got to use that to pick up the turkey leg and pass it to little Freddie. For, I don't know why you picked Freddie. Freddie, here's your turkey leg. We don't want to touch because you'll get the coronavirus from me. Anyway, that's what they like you to do. They don't want you to meet. But these folks decided, according to the San Francisco Chronicle, the Independent Voter Project, the IVP, which is hosting the conference, declined to name the fewer than 20 lawmakers who collectively came from California, Texas, and Washington. These are special people. Keep in mind, the conference is taking place at the Fairmont Kia Lani. I'm bad with Hawaiian names. In Maui, where rooms reportedly run a reasonable rate, folks, of $600 and over per night. With policy discussions and quote-unquote schmoozing with corporate sponsors, the Chronicle said Monday. Its website says the event is 4 days long and the purpose is to, quote, provide a setting away from the Capitol, because that's, you don't want to do things at the Capitol where people can actually see, but nobody really pays attention. Anyway, for elected officials and a diverse group, I added that, for a diverse group of industry experts to consider policy matters in a nonpartisan manner. News of the event came just days after the California Department of Public Health issued a travel advisory urging residents to stay home and not leave their quote unquote region. Have you ever seen the Hunger Games? It's like the region, it's districts. What they have, like 13. I think maybe the 13th was wiped off. I don't ruin the story for you if you haven't seen it already. You know, but they put all the people, all the citizens into regions to serve the capital. It sounds pretty, you know, like, yeah, we kind of do that now. Stay in your region. Remember? Actually, I remember there were several mayors here in Arizona, some more of our public servants who just their whole life is just to serve you and to make sure that you do, you know, they're doing good by you. Remember, they sent out a letter back in the spring. And actually, surprisingly, it all goes back to Mayor Coral Evans. She was one of the people that suggested that people stay in their, I don't know if they called it regions, but don't travel from city to city. Stay in your town. Anyway, you should stay in your region, according to the California Department of Public Health travel advisory. Quote, Californians are encouraged to stay home or in their region and avoid non-essential travel to other states or countries, reads the advisory from Friday. Avoiding travel can reduce the risk of virus transmission and bringing the virus back to California. It also recommends people returning to California to quarantine for 14 days after arrival. Now, the project reportedly paid. Hey, by the way, before I continue on with this article from Fox News, on these folks that are jet setting to Hawaii after they, you know, California, the state they represent, issues, you know, basically stay at home orders or don't eat that turkey leg with Fredo. Fredo? It was Freddy. Now we're talking to Godfather now. Anyway, you remember the Soviet Union. Now, many of you do. I remember it. I'm 44 years old, and I remember at least the 80s, that part of it. And, you know, the fear of the Soviet Union. We didn't know what was going on. And, you know, behind the Iron Curtain. And many of you remember even much longer. Some of you may be younger. And I think that's some of the issues here is we forget our history. You know, you had to show your papers. You had to, you know, you couldn't travel. I mean, you couldn't go over to the Soviet Union to travel. If you live there, you're kind of locked in your region for the most part, except when you were the bigwigs, when you were the political elite, that class of folks. You know, they had paved roads and nice cars, and, you know, you could live a grand old life if you're in the system. Okay. If you're in the system now, you live a grand old life, don't you? Anyway, the project reportedly paid the guests, four guests, five-night stay at the Fairmont. Five nights, keep in mind, at $600 plus a night, as well as the $550 airfare. And folks, this happens all the time. This happens all the time. These special interest groups pay for these politicians to jet set all over the place. I can tell you story after story. While details aren't clear, the Sacramento Bee reported on a conference in 2015 noting ditching suits and ties for shorts and polos. Attendees rotate through morning panels covering subjects such as drug buyback programs and the digital divide in poor households. There's apparently a divide running right through it. Hawaiian shirts are in disappointingly short supply. During open afternoons, they are free to relax and explore the island, often with spouses and children who have tagged along for the week. Wasn't that special? Jack Pitney, a Claremont McKenna professor, said at the time that nobody thinks you're going to Maui to learn things. No, you wouldn't. Chairman and executive director of the IVP, Dan Howe, said the event was about a third of the usual size, that it was taking advantage of Hawaii's very detailed safe travel program. That's good. While you stay back in California, at least your public servants will be safe in Hawaii. He also claimed that IVP was bending over backwards to make sure there's every conceivable safety protocol. He added, "We've been very careful. We didn't make the final decision to do this until the state had a program to reopen. Participants will reportedly have to download an app that traces their movements." This is all very special stuff, folks. Your officials, this happens all over the place. If you think this is just confined to California, this is your public officials. They go on special junkets all the time. And they write rules and laws for you that don't apply to them. It happens all the time. Believe me, I'm telling you, you know it's the truth. We've become a society of a permanent political class, political elites. And it's not just the elected, public servants. It's the ones that President Trump has talked about, the swamp creatures, the permanent bureaucratic class that exists in not just Washington, D.C., but every town, every city, every county, every state across this nation. And, you know, to be fair, I know lots of fine folks that work in these organizations that aren't part of that upper political elite class that will wait out any politicians that are actually public servants who want to go there to serve, to change, and then go away You know, those are the good ones, the ones that are willing to go away and say, yeah, I'm good, I'm done. But that's becoming more and more rare, folks. All right, love your comments. I had a little rant. I thought this one was good. I don't know. California authorities, stay at home. Go to California. Go to Hawaii. Love your thoughts, folks. Just Wireless listener line, 877-971-3971. Still to come, Rich Nolan, president and chief executive officer of the National Mining Association. Hang tight. Back in a minute.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
All right, folks, welcome back. I'm standing on one foot, hopping up and down, because the government has told me that if I do this, I will be protected from coronavirus, from COVID-19, actually COVID-20. There's a new one coming out. So we must do everything the government says because they are so wise. Okay, let me sit down and get serious. I'm a little cynical today because, you see, I'm a little out of breath now, too. Maybe I need to do that more. I mean, you know, if the government truly cared about us, if these politicians truly cared about us, they'd be telling us things like, you know what, get on outside and get some exercise. That's the best thing you can do to defeat the coronavirus is get outside and get a little sunshine. Yeah, sun's not going to kill you. It's actually beneficial. Get a little exercise. Hop on one foot, you know, every third Tuesday or whatever. And, you know, get out there. Park in back of the parking lot and walk before you mask up to go into the store with hundreds of other people. You know, parking back at a parking lot and get a little exercise, because if you're fit, you have, what is the survivability rate of coronavirus now? 99.9%. Well, I would imagine that if you're healthy, it's like vastly higher than that even. I mean, we know this isn't about that anymore, because look at the hypocrisy that I was talking about, which is your elected leaders that go to places like Hawaii when they're telling you to stay home and be locked down. And these people keep getting caught. These politicians keep getting caught. You know, remember, this has happened so many times now, I can't even keep track. But the people, you know, they order these governors and mayors and so on and so forth. They'll order their citizens, you know, to stay at home, to get locked down, and they go get their nails done, their hair done. What, Nancy Pelosi? You know, she'd love to see a national mask mandate, but you know, when you go back to San Francisco, you make sure that they open a place just for you because you're very special and you're not going to get COVID because you're special and you can go break all the rules. You can go out to dinner. Remember that guy was in the Philadelphia mayor who was caught, you know, in another state, a fancy restaurant, while his restaurant's in his town, not his restaurant, saying his, you know, let's get their phrasing right here. But they're ordered shut down while they, anyway, my point being, they will break the rules, but they want you to stay in. What was the article we were reading? Titled from Fox News, California authorities insist people stay home. Meanwhile, they're escaping to lavish getaway in Hawaii. They want you to stay in your region. Your region. And what will you do next? You know, hop on one foot if they tell you to, because, hey, you're going to be safer while wearing a mask, while wearing, you know, goggles and, you know, hunkered down in your basement. I mean, what will people do next? I'm just shocked. I mean, if you had told me, you know, 9 months ago that people in this country are going to do what they did and buckle to our public servants, I would just be utterly shocked. Here we are in month 9 of 2 weeks to flatten the curve. And it ain't ending. I have a stack of articles here, and you can see the media, the mainstream, whatever the heck that means, media, pushing the COVID hysteria once again. Election's over. So let's make sure we push the COVID hysteria. What did Joe Biden say yesterday? And I apologize for playing 30 minutes of Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, but I thought you needed to hear it. I hope you listened to it all so you can hear their words. Did you hear the negativity of Joe Biden? Now, President Trump's a pretty optimistic guy. Hey, we're going to fight. We're going to do this. We're right around the corner. We're going to beat this thing. Whether or not it's right or not, who knows? But the optimism. I mean, how many studies have been done, and I know that when you're optimistic, when you look at things in a positive view, say, I'm going to be successful at that business. I'm going to be successful at, you know, doing X, Y, and Z, whatever it is, that you have a much higher probability of being successful at that. I've seen it in my life. You've seen it in your life. But when you say, oh, man, I'm going to lose to that team. Up this business venture, surely to fail. Yep. I'm going to go meet that girl over there. She's going to reject me. You know, I mean, when you start off from a point of failure, you fail. So when Joe Biden said during the presidential debate here a few weeks ago, we're entering a dark winter. Remember that? And he repeated it yesterday. It's going to be a hard time. It's going to be a dark winter. You know, where's the optimism? Where's the, we're going to turn the corner here, folks. We got a little bit of tough time coming, but no, it's just a dark winter. It's like a, you know, Game of Thrones, the ice people, whatever the heck they were, are coming down south and you're all doomed. You know, so right there. And I mean, if it takes off, it's going to be January, right? So, I mean, a dark winter is going to lead to that dark spring with this guy. And you're not going to have the national, I don't think you'll have the national lockdowns, but they will exert their power. What was it called again? I keep forgetting. Oh, on your region, like the Hunger Games region, they will exert that. Anyway, I want to get to some comments. This is a comment here that I think ties in well, if we can pull this up. And folks, you can comment on the Just Wireless listener line, 877-971-3971. Here's a comment from this is Brian Flagstaff.
I was wondering if you've heard anything about this thing called the Great Reset that is going to be, I guess we're going to try to put it into play. Franklin Graham had posted on his Facebook site this letter to Donald Trump from the ex-apostolic nuncio to the United States from the Vatican. And he was warning Trump about this, and it seems to tie in to this whole COVID lockdown thing and the Green Deal and all of that. So I was wondering if you've looked into it. If you haven't, just go on to the whoever's in charge of the ECB, the World Bank, and look on their website. It's right on there.
This is, yeah. I appreciate the call, Brian. Yes. Of course, as we enter month nine of the 2 week, 2 weeks to do all this crap to flatten a curve, we know this is a bunch of BS. We know it. And I saw that. I know Tucker Carlson just did a piece on this. I'm reading a book about currency wars from James Rickert, who I want to get on the program. I talked about just the other day. The ECB, the European Central Bank, she is talking about, what's her name, Lagarde, is talking about, hey, in the next couple of years, we're going to have the digital currency, because the Great Reset has a lot to do with the social side of things. Let's pull this up here. This was from the World Economic Forum.org, the Great Reset Agenda, and they cobbled together all these, powers that be, your public servants from around the world, I might add. The Great Reset Agenda would have three main components. The first would steer the market toward fairer outcomes. Oh, no. The governments get involved in fairer outcomes. Watch out, Brian. To this end, governments should improve coordination, for example, in tax, regulatory and fiscal policy, upgrade trade arrangements, and create the conditions for a quote unquote stakeholder economy. So again, this goes back to like Atlas Shrugged, you remember that Ayn Rand, where what was it, that motor company, the guy who made the generator that ran basically on nothing and created as much energy as you wanted, and they're like, oh, we all want a piece of that, the whole company, everybody's going to own that, and the guy's like, I'm out of here, see you, dude, I quit, So it's the stakeholder economy, At a time of diminishing tax bases and soaring public debt, governments have a powerful incentive to pursue such action. It's soaring public debts because of all the stupid program these public servants have put into place over the decades. And quite frankly, the constituents that let this happen, the ones that are now standing on one leg, hopping up and down because the government said that's best for you. Moreover, governments should implement long overdue reforms that promote more equitable outcomes. Depending on the country, these may include changes to wealth taxes. Where have we heard that? Hey, wait a second. We have, let me get my pile here. We have a wealth tax here in Arizona, don't we? Proposition 208 just passed in the so-called red state. And here's an article. This is from Fox 10 out of Phoenix. Arizona petition gathering firm commissioned by Prop 208, which is the wealth tax. If you make over, you know, $500,000 as a couple, if you file joint, you have to pay an extra, 3.5% state income tax on top of the Biden-Harris taxes that are coming. They're going to be excessive. But anyway, Prop 208 campaign accused of giving illegal bonuses. They're being accused of giving bonuses to the petition gatherers. Now, this is accusations right now that range from $20 to $1,200. The AG's office, Attorney General Mark Brnovich, said Monday that the state law enacted in 2017 made it illegal to pay gatherers per signature they collected. Anyway, just a little side note, because we have our own wealth tax, and I'm reading from the World Economic Forum on the Great Reset that Brian was kind enough to bring up, and wealth taxes will be a big thing. The withdrawal of fossil fuel subsidies and new rules governing, get this, new rules governing intellectual property, trade, and competition. It's like the worldwide communist organization here. So, look, the assault on private property is huge in their plans. You know, private property is bad. You know, having the ability to freely move around outside your quote unquote, going back to this Fox News thing, outside your region is a big thing. Just had the power blink again. Is that a sign? Oh, there it goes again. Let's check. We're still good here. Okay. Anyway, you know, freedom to move outside your region, that's a little freaky, is important. Because you want to be able to be mobile, so you're not stuck in crazy, you know, you're not stuck in California. So anyway, continuing on with this, they want a second component of the Great Reset. The World Economic Forum would ensure that investments advance shared goals such as equality and sustainability. So maybe while the power went out, we switched to solar power, and it's maybe cloudy where those solar panels are. The large-scale spending programs that many governments are implementing represent a major opportunity for progress. So and then they go on to talk about the hundreds of billions of dollars that the European Union and other groups are putting into these social projects for progress. And a third, according to the World Economic Forum on the Great Reset, the third and final priority of a Great Reset agenda is to harness the innovations of the fourth industrial revolution to support the public good. Again, back to Atlas Shrugged. Especially by addressing health and social challenges. During the COVID-19 crisis, companies, universities, and others have joined forces to develop the diagnostics, therapeutics, and possible vaccines, establishing testing centers, create mechanisms for tracing infections, and deliver telemedicine. Imagine what could be possible if similar concerted efforts were made in every sector. We're talking about the collectivization and the cooperation between everybody. See, they don't believe that the individual can achieve greatness. Remember the Obama shirt that came out, or the Obama comment that he made? And I had a shirt that had this slogan on it. Well, God, I wish I had kept that. I should have put that on the wall. I'll probably be contraband here soon. It said, you didn't build that. Remember that? You didn't build that. Referring to, you know, somebody on their own who is a go-getter who, you know, just busted their butt for decades and decades and made something of themselves. Well, the whole, you know, premise behind it, you didn't build that. And we're entering, you know, Biden or Obama's third term here coming up. Times 100, I think, with these cabinet members. You didn't build that. You can't do that on your own. You need the collective. You need the everybody behind you. You can't do that on your own. It's impossible. And this is being pushed and pushed and pushed into the kids, you know, from grade school on into the university. You can't do anything on your own. The hell you can't. And I would say that greatness and advancements rely on the individual. Throughout history, this doesn't mean nobody helped that didn't have a mentor, or didn't have, you know, staff or people working for that person. Not always. Sometimes there's these individual folks who get a lot done, you know, solely on their own. But yeah, there's always, you know, organizations around it. But there's always that one central figure that is able to push through like no group or collective ever could. I could sit here and spew off the names of these people throughout history. So these people are just they're full of it. So anyway, the Great Reset, yeah, absolutely. It is a real thing, and it's on so many levels, social, economic. And here's a clip from our neighbor to the north, President Trudeau of Canada, talking about the Great Reset.
This pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset. This is our chance to accelerate our pre-pandemic efforts to reimagine economic systems that actually address global challenges like extreme poverty, inequality, and climate change.
Of course, climate change. There you go. And go to the World Economic Forum website. You can type in Great Reset World Economic Forum. And they have a video there that starts off, and it's so depressing. It is like the dark winter of Joe Biden. And it shows landfills and smokestacks spewing out, you know, pollution. This is what the people, majority of people live in cities now, so they see this on a daily basis. They don't realize that the whole country and the whole world is wide open and unpolluted. But they see these videos, they're like, yep, we got to do something. Social injustice, environmental injustice, economic injustice. We're going to fix it all, and we're going to rely on the government to do it. They're going to fix it. Our public servants. Folks, love your comments. Just Wireless listener line, 877-971-3971. Brian, thanks for that comment, folks. Hang tight. Back in a minute.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971. This is the Jeff Horovitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
All right, folks, welcome back. Jeff Horovitz here reporting from Region 13. Region 13. I get a kick out of the way they use these words. And if you're just joining us, I had read this article about California authorities that insist that people stay home. They go over and run over to Hawaii. You know, they outsource. See, these politicians, these public servants, they have a tendency to outsource their dirty laundry. So, you know, California wants to become the solar capital, and they get their electricity from green sources, right? But they don't, you know, the people plugging in their electric car, saving the earth. Those people that never leave the city and realize that, you know, because they don't travel, they don't. They just think the whole world's polluted and concreted over. And as you know, if you've joined me in my travels around the country, and I've traveled, you know, a lot of places in the world as well, you know, the world is not about to end. The world is not on fire. The Green New Deal is not needed. And, you know, there's vast tracts of open space all over this planet that is not polluted. You know, it's just the fact that half the people in this country live in the city. So they think this is happening everywhere, and they don't get in their car and plug in the old, you know, whatever electric car and go anywhere and see for themselves. So these politicians, these public servants, they outsource their dirty laundry. You know, they'll get coal. You know, they'll have coal create their electricity in another state, sometimes in another nation, so they don't have to deal with that dirty stuff, you know? And we're going to talk about that next hour, by the way, with Rich Nolan, who is the chief executive officer and president of the National Mining Association. Mining was, you know, upticking here under President Trump. What does it look like under Biden? What's going on with China and their push to get hard assets? And back to Brian last segment, and thanks for that call, Brian. And folks, if you got a comment, Just Wireless listener line, 877-971-3971. You know, China is out there gobbling up hard assets, like mines and real estate and other factories and means of production. Because, Brian, we talked about the Great Reset. If you you know, you mentioned this to people outside this show and other folks, Brian, you know, yeah, you're crazy. This is conspiracy stuff. But you can go look up the World Economic Forum and watch these leaders from around the world, like Justin Trudeau. And what would they have? The leader of Colombia's in one of these videos. It's all over the place, all around the world. They've sopped these people in, right? You've got a Great Reset, and you got a Great Reset that's probably going to happen, you know, anywhere from tomorrow to 20 years from now. Who knows how long this stuff takes? But you got a currency issue. You've got massive debt issues. Does anyone really believe that the United States, just one player in the game here, is going to be paying off $27 or $30 trillion anytime soon? You've got brain damage? No, of course not.
What is the, hang on, get this out. I don't think this, we're going to have to go to our special calculator here, the Abacus version 3.9, because that calculator, and I got to turn it sideways here. What did it say? Let's call it 30 trillion. So that's 300,000. That's 3 million. It's 30 million. 300 million. 3 billion. 30 billion. This is hard to do. Don't distract me. 300 billion. 3 trillion. 30 trillion. It's such a big number. It takes thought just to enter it in. Divided by, let's just say the U.S. is 300 million. Thousand. Million. It's $100,000 for every, you know, man, woman, child in this country to pay off. Half the country don't have $400 in their bank account. I mean, seriously. I mean, nobody believes. And that's just the, you know, the national debt. That doesn't include the I don't know, $80, $100 trillion, whatever it is. Who really knows what it is of other obligations, the pension obligations, the this obligation, the that obligation. I mean, come on. Does anybody believe that, you know, we're going to be paying off all this debt-soaked world? So back to what I was saying. A great reset as far as the monetary and the social and the environmental and all that is definitely coming. So you got China going out there buying up hard assets, because if history will teach you anything, it's that when the proverbial, you know what, hits the fan, you know, those dollars ain't worth much. And again, I don't know when, I don't know how it's going to happen. I study a lot of history, and I am enjoying James Rickert's book, Currency Wars, which was written about 2010. We're going to try to get him on the show. And I've had other guests that have had him on their shows. And so, you know, I'm sure we'll be able to get him, but goes through the history of this happening and these politicians and public servants, you know, messing with your life and destroying lives through, you know, manipulating currencies and so on and so forth. So we're going to talk with Rich Nolan, who is the chief executive officer of National Mining Association, about this asset play that China's making. Because if it all goes to hell, and they're holding trillions of dollars in U.S. debt and, you know, other means. So when it goes to hell, hey, it's nice to own that copper mine. It's nice to own that gold mine, that silver mine. The rare earth that they have in China. We're going to talk about all of that, because there's people being smart around the world buying up this stuff. And I don't agree with their motives. Don't get me. But the outcome is you want to have something tangible if this all goes to hell. And these people, does anyone believe that the Justin Trudeaus of the world are really that wise? The Gavin Newsoms of the world are really that wise? These are political hacks that move up, like I was talking about in the first segment. They move up the chain, they move up the political ladder, you know, by maneuvering. Try to put them to work doing something real and productive. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not negative towards everybody who gets in this. There are a lot of politicians and or people, citizen servants, we can call them, you know, those that truly want to serve and then go away. There are a lot of them. But if they stay around too long, they just get sucked into the system. Most of the people who are in it for just the purely good reasons are, you know, called one-termers or two-termers, because they'll get pushed out eventually and the bureaucracy will remain behind. Okay, let's get to another comment. Again, love to hear from you. Just wireless listener line. I got a lot on my chest today. 877, at least I'm not hopping up and down on one foot anymore. 877-971-3971.
Hi, Jeff. Don from Sedona. I heard on the substitute for, I have the date and time, but I'll just get to it. It says, It was said that Katie Hobbs tweeted out in 2017 that Trump's base the supporters or neo-Nazi.
Mm, yeah, of course.
So I believe that Katie Hobbs has higher political ambitions.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to know if it's true. I don't have a way to check it out, but I'm sure you could. So 2017, Katie Hobbs tweeted out that Trump's base are neo-Nazis.
Yeah. And I mean, 2 points there. Does Katie Hobbs have higher political ambitions? But there's a whole theme of this hour, right? Of course she does. I mean, what was she? Senator, a state senator. She's Secretary of State, which is the second highest position in the state behind the governor. The media powers that be are already ogling over her. Oh, she's become a media star and she's, you know, she's going to be this and that. They're ogling over her. She's going to run for governor. I would bet, do I have any money laying around here? I have a stapler. I would bet this stapler, which is a fine stapler and it's polished and shiny, that Katie Hobbs will be running for governor and she will be well-financed because let's now flip another statewide seat, another Arizona state seat to the Democrats and the liberals and let's get all that outside money. She'll probably be running against, my guess would be Attorney General Mark Brnovich will be one of the top names up there on the Republican side. But okay, so that, your first question, does she have higher political ambitions? So these people don't do anything else. You know what I mean? They don't do anything else. It's all they are is political operatives. New York Post, oldest newspaper in the country, I believe. At least that's what Donald Trump Jr. was telling me when he was on the program. And he did a tweet that linked to the New York Post that talked about Biden's family, of corruption. The Hunter Biden story. Remember that? And the geniuses at Twitter who are, you know, been around for so long and they're so media savvy. I mean, much longer than the New York Post. Oh, wait, that's not true. They flagged it and put him in Twitter jail over that. Right. So anyway, the New York Post has this to say about it. Arizona Secretary of State Katie Hobbs accused of bias in election over 2017 tweet. This is from November 13th of this year at 8:44 p.m. You guys can look this stuff up, too. I mean, it's all out there. Arizona Secretary of State Katie Hobbs is catching so much alt-right flack over an old tweet in which she accused President Trump of having a, quote, neo-Nazi base that her office has reached out to state anti-terrorism experts. According to a report, Hobbs' office has been targeted with threatening calls by some of Trump's staunchest supporters who accuse her of bias in overseeing the state's presidential election results. The newly surfaced 2017 tweet in which she blasted the president for pandering, quote, pandering to his neo-Nazi base, added fuel to that fire, the Arizona Mirror reported. Hobbs, a Democrat, continues to deny that her political views played any role in certifying that President-elect Joe Biden had won the state, the Arizona Mirror reported. I took an oath, she says, to uphold the laws and the Constitution of Arizona and the United States of America, and my personal views have not intervened with my job for state of Arizona, et cetera, et cetera. Exclamation point, I guess. So there you go. Yeah, there's an old tweet. So yeah. So according to New York Post and Arizona Mirror, this is true. Thanks for that call. Appreciate it, folks. If you want to chime in, love to hear from you. Just wireless listener line 877-971-3971. Coming up next, don't go anywhere because we're going to talk with Rich Nolan, who is the president and chief executive officer of the National Mining Association. Let's get into coal, which affects us here in Northern Arizona's supply chain. Globalization. Let's get into this China resource play and much, much more, folks. Hang tight. Back in a minute.
This is the Jeff Horowitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
All right, let's talk coal, supply chains, globalization, China's resource play with Rich Nolan, president of the National Mining Association. Another of the show starts now. All right, folks, welcome back. And I'm really happy to have on the program Rich Nolan, who is president and chief executive officer of the National Mining Association. He's also a member of the board of U.S. U.S. Energy Association. I don't know if I said that right. Great American Economic Revival Industry Group and National Coal Council, among many other things. Rich Nolan, Rich, welcome to the program. How are you doing today?
Great, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
That was a mouthful. So you're basically long end of it here. Short end of it is you're involved a lot when it comes to mining, natural resources and all of that. And I look at coal, Rich. And we actually have huge coal reserves up here in northern Arizona. I've covered this a lot. Navajo Nation, Hopi Nation, they've relied on that as a resource and
funds for their governments. But we've seen since Obama administration, the shutdown of the Navajo generating station up in Page and among other plants now being potentially closed. Is coal just dirty and future dead, or am I off base?
Well, I think politicians and the politics of mining and specifically coal that you asked about, you know, it really turns its back on some of the fantastic natural assets that we have, especially in Arizona, which has 197 million tons of recoverable coal reserves.
Yeah.
And still, you know, just going back to 2019, current statistics, coal generated 21% of Arizona's electricity. So, turning our backs on that tremendous resource that can provide diversity and economic opportunity with, you know, average salaries paying over $83,000, which is almost 50% more than the average in Arizona, is something that needs to be looked at very carefully before we start discriminating against one fuel type over another.
Yeah, and I remember when I spoke to someone about the coal reserves up in, you know, like Navajo Nation, Hopi Nation, because they were going specifically to a plant that was pretty close. They had a railroad directly to it. But the problem was transporting it long distance became an uneconomical, you know, thing at that point.
Sure. Well, transportation costs are always always a factor. I mean, it's certainly more efficient to have the resource as close as you can to the power generating unit. But you have to look at the economics and where things stand. Obviously, mm-hmm. There's been a tremendous amount of change underfoot from the previous administration. And what, you know, President Trump has done is tried to come back in and stop discriminating against different types of fuels and really put in a foundation. You saw a tremendous collapse in the number of coal jobs nationwide. And what he has done with some of his regulatory initiatives is really stop that discrimination, put a floor in place. And even right before the pandemic, you started to see both the jobs levelize and then even start to tick back up. Of course, like any manufacturing sector since the pandemic, a lot of heavy manufacturing employment has dropped dramatically.
Does it worry you, your position with the National Mining Association, you're out there, pushing for mining, and mining's a huge part. I mean, Arizona's the copper state, right? I've talked with Congressman Gosar a lot about the fight for Resolute. I believe it's called Resolute Mining, mine down
Resolution,
south.
Resolution Copper. Yeah.
See, it all comes to me eventually. We weeks seems
You're
like
great.
Yeah, weeks seems like years nowadays, right? But anyway, there's this.
Sure.
There's been this tremendous push with the Trump administration for mining and to ease up and make things a little easier. Under Obama, it was tougher. Look, I don't know which way the election's going. Still, it doesn't. It looks like Joe Biden's going to be the next president, although there's still, ironically enough, some legal maneuvering going on in Pennsylvania because the coal issue didn't go over big there when we had that debate here a couple weeks ago. So who knows what's going to happen? But are you concerned if there's a Biden administration, does it become tougher for the mining industry and to get these resources?
Well, you know, the NMA is not the Democratic Party or the Republican Party.
Sure.
We're the party of mining, and we have to work with whomever's in office. And if you look at the work that President Trump has done, issuing two executive orders on the importance of domestic mining and mineral exploration, extraction, and processing, we've certainly had a strong working relationship with him. But on the flip side of that, if you look at the potential President Biden administration, or I guess some are calling it now President-elect, there is a Build Back Better plan, which includes reshoring our domestic resources. As we've seen in the pandemic, the supply chains have been broken,
mm-hmm.
and we need to build that back domestically. Whether it's, you know, the next generation 5G iPhones or medical devices, robotics, the wave of electric vehicles, which use four times as much copper in them. I think there's a bipartisan recognition. People get it. China has made great strides to try to gobble up and cordon off the industries of the future, including the supply chains for those, and has significantly made a long-term policy and emphasis about trying to gather up for national security, manufacturing, energy, medical supply chains, these essential minerals that the World Bank said we need to potentially need a 500% more production by 2050 of things like graphite, lithium, cobalt, things that are commingled with copper, things that are out there in the United States that we can get today if we just have enabling policies to get to them.
Well, Rich, let me ask you about China. And I've spoken to a lot of folks on this topic as well. I mean, China has made a resource play around the world. And really, they've done what other nations, including the U.S., has done in the past, which let's look at South America, Australia, Africa, all over the place. They've bought up either directly, they've bought up mining operations and rights on these mining operations around the world, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And then they've also done what a lot of nations have done in the past, which maybe get into the lending business and in nations that may not have, you know, the best capability of paying back. So there's a play there to get control of these resources. But are they really kind of cornering? Is this a global threat here as far as cornering these resources worldwide?
Well, as long as we can continue to access global resources on the global market, no. But we've seen examples over the past 10 years of leadership in China making precise decisions on limiting supply of things like rare earth, cases that have gone all the way to the WTO. So there is, a geopolitical risk here, mm-hmm. that there is a race for these materials because they are essential to the way of life for modern Americans and the middle class.
Yeah.
And I think both parties are recognizing that. You know, Congress last year formed a China task force with specific recommendations about trying to address the global supply chain of critical minerals, from removing regulatory barriers to domestic mining to overhaul the permitting process for mineral production, as well as developing and prioritizing advancements in mineral refining. You've now got the Department of Defense out there trying to help provide grants to set up mineral processing facilities on potentially military bases and other federal property. Because even if we can get the material out of the ground, a lot of it has to be shipped overseas to be processed in an environmentally sensitive way. And it's going to be essential if we want those supply chains back to re-stand up our refining capacity here in the United States.
And folks, talking with Rich Nolan, who is CEO and president of the National Mining Association, it's amazing. I mean, China controls the vast majority of the rare earth materials, correct?
That's correct. Certain materials, it's up to 70% or greater.
And that's basically, I mean, for all of us that don't know much, which I would be one of those, your phone, I mean, computer, electronics, things like that?
Your phone, your car, computers, specific drugs, medical devices.
Oh, even
robotics.
Drugs. Wow.
There's certain uses, of course, for lithium across the board.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's and is there any opportunity in the rest of the world, or is this undiscovered? It's just that's where the supply of these rare earth minerals are, or what's the deal there?
Well, you have to go element by element, but certainly there are opportunities here in the United States, and that's why the National Mining Association is out there working with all parties to try to get these operations up and running. It takes a lot of capital to build these manufacturing facilities, sometimes underground, sometimes on the surface. Sometimes it takes 10 years to get the permits to stand these facilities up. Overseas, our competitors are doing it in less than three. So our policymakers need to get with it or we're going to lose this race.
So a huge regulatory burden domestically. You said three years versus 10 years.
Yeah, we're proud of our record. We are highly regulated in this country by half a dozen separate statutes, and we believe that our companies do it right, do it the best, do it in the safest manner possible with rigorous reclamation standards. You look at our competitors overseas; they don't have the standards that are the the highest in the world like we do here in the United States. So yeah. We firmly believe that we can make a strong case to
do it here. Yeah.
Really create a mining renaissance here in this country and get people back to work.
Absolutely. Okay, one more point here, and folks, talking with Rich Nolan, the supply chains. Early on in the pandemic, I mean, this is like back in March or April, I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was Senator McSally. We were talking about the fact that we couldn't even get the material to make a mask because it had to go to China, and it wound up in Italy. It was this whole crazy thing. Is there, I think there is, but you correct me if I'm wrong here. Is there a push by both parties now, an understanding to get control of some of these essential manufacturing, whether it's raw materials or whatever, but the supply chain? We had the just-in-time method going on here for quite a while. But if something gets held up like a pandemic from a pandemic, are we going to get back to that? Is it possible to get back to domestically sourcing or creating these things?
Well, I think you've seen a real emphasis now by both parties to reshore those supply chains. You're exactly right. As it's been proven out in the pandemic, maybe that just-in-time global economy has some flaws and some breaks in it, and I know that the best minds across American business and government are looking into this to try to make sure that we don't get caught exposed again.
Again, yeah, yeah. If it gets cut off, look what happens. I mean, whether it be a pandemic or a war or anything, you don't want that to happen. But man, yeah. I think back to World War II. If this had happened, I guess it did with rubber and things like that.
It did with many products, and you know, I don't think any of us ever thought we'd be in this position again in our lifetimes. Yet sure. Here we are.
Sure. All right, Rich Nolan, President and CEO of National Mining Association. You can go to NMA.org. Rich, I appreciate the time. Hope we make some strides here and correct some of these imbalances.
Jeff, thanks for having me on.
All right, folks, I'd love your comments on this. I mean, yeah, I you know, I'm not like an isolationist guy, but you've got to be able to, you know, when we weren't able to make the masks here in America because the supply was held up from China because it was over in Italy because of shipping this and that and logistics problems. I mean, it was crazy. When we can't even do basic things, you got to start to question and wonder about national security. So we've got to, I just hope that, you know, if there's a Biden administration, they don't make it so tough on miners and manufacturers. Look, if it's taken 10 years under Trump, you imagine what it takes going forward. So we've got to find a way to make this easier so that people have an incentive, a financial incentive to do this stuff in this country. But I'd love your thoughts, folks. Go ahead and chime in to Just Wireless listener line, 877-971-3971. Also, you can go to talkwithjeff.com, and you can check out our posts up there as well as all the comment tabs. You can comment on the post. You can comment through social media, email address. I love all your emails. I appreciate that. Talkwithjeff.com. Folks, hang tight. Back in a minute.